You're listening to the Cornerstone Word of Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this teaching from Pastor Mark. For more information on our church, please visit cwol.org.
We were talking about how to make godly decisions. How many of you know we're making decisions all day long, every day? Are y'all making right decisions? That was weak. Are y'all making right decisions? Sometimes, you know, we make decisions and we have some regrets, you know what I mean? It's like, oh, I wish I hadn't done that, or, you know, this or that. And the truth of the matter is, we've all done that. And are you grateful that the Lord will get you out of all your troubles? Have you ever used that scripture? Lord, you promised me you'd get me out of all of my troubles. All means what? That means the ones we cause. That means the ones somebody else causes for us. That even means the ones the devil causes. But he will get you out of all of your trouble. But I want to talk to you about something, though, that if we learn to live making right choices, then we don't have to have so much deliverance. You understand what I mean, no, it's still there. But if I'll make the right choice on this side of it, I won't have to pray so much for a miracle. I believe in miracles. I've seen him get me out of trouble before, but how many know if you make the right choices? So the truth of the matter is we make choices all day long. And I say this, your life is the sum total of all the choices you make. And so, you know, there's those choices BC, before Christ. And then there's even some after Christ decisions that we would like to have back. But going forward, you and I can make proper decisions. And so in doing that, one of the ways to make a proper decision is do what James chapter 1 says, verse 22, I believe, is to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. And so when you do the word, that helps erase some bad decisions. Because when you're doing the word on a regular, consistent basis, then you're not doing or yielding to the works of your flesh. If I'm walking in the Spirit, the Bible says, when I walk in the Spirit, it'll cause me not to fulfill the lusts of my flesh. So if I'm walking in the Spirit, what is walking in the Spirit? Walking in the Spirit is not getting words of knowledge. Walking in the Spirit is not praying in tongues. Yeah, I thought that was. It could be a part of it, but walking in the Spirit is being more conscious of the things of God than you are your physical body. Remember, John the Revelator said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. That does not mean he was floating in clouds. That just means he was aware of the things of God that was more real to him than natural things. Because, see, if you and I can't walk in the Spirit 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, even while you're sleeping, you're in trouble. Because while I'm not walking in the Spirit, what's happening? My flesh is winning. And then, therefore, then we can't control that. But you can crucify your flesh. You can walk in the Spirit all day long, every day. Because you can't pray in tongues at work, except under your breath. I don't know that you need to be doing it out loud, or if someone gives you something at Walmart, if you need to answer them in tongues. But listen to me. So a lot of times charismatic Pentecostals think that praying in tongues is the only way to be in the Spirit. It's not. The prevalent way, the right way, is that I'm more aware of God and his word. Because Jesus said what? My words, they are spirit and life. So when I walk in the word, I am walking in the Spirit. And when I'm walking in the Spirit, I'm not fulfilling the lusts of my flesh. And when I'm walking in the Spirit, how many of you know, we all should be walking in the Spirit on a very regular basis and all the time. And when we do, we will make right choices and right decisions. Why? Because we're doing what God wants us to do. Are y'all with me? Are y'all with me? Okay. So we're making proper choices. We're making proper decisions. But then we began to talk about trying to make decisions that are not written down in the Bible. In other words, it was not written in the Bible where you should go to college. Because, usually where you go to high school is pretty much, your mom and dad's choice. You know, but where you start making your own decisions is it wasn't written down, where you go to school. It's not written down who you should marry. It's not written down how many children you should have. It's not written down where you should live and where you should work and where you should go to church and who ought to be your pastor and what team you ought to root for. I mean, whatever. It's not written down. So what do you got to do with all those except the last one? You've got to pray. You have to get some discern. You have to be able to discern. In other words, those things are hidden for you, not from you. Those are for you, and the Lord will help you understand because He has a will. Remember, we looked in James, and people use this for a funeral scripture, but it has nothing to do with the funeral. And so let's review this in James. So everybody turn to James, and I'll tell you where in just a second. James chapter number 4, verses 13 through 17. Go ye now, you that say today or tomorrow we'll go into such a city, continue there a year, buy it and sell and get gain. So this person is doing what? They are taking their life into their own hands, and they're deciding where they're going to live and what they're going to do, and they're going to do it for a year. And then the Lord answers back, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. How many know that's true? Unless the Lord tells you, you don't know. For what is your life? He's saying you have a limited time, whether it be 80 to 120 years, whichever your preference is, whatever, you know, it is even a vapor. How many know in God's mind 120 years is still a vapor? Yeah. That appears for a little time and vanishes away. Well, I don't want to think of myself as a vapor. You're a vapor, all right? For that you what you ought to say, in answer to verse 13, because you're saying something, what you ought to say if the Lord will. Okay, well, that messes with word of faith people right there, just crazy. I thought you taught us never to say, if it be thy will. Well, when you're praying the prayer of faith, you don't need to pray the if it be thy will. Because you know the will. How did you get the will? Well, you got it from the Word. So when you're praying for healing, you don't have to add if it be thy will. Is that right? Because you know it's the will of God. If you're praying for, you're a tither, you're a giver, and you're praying for one of your needs to be met, you don't have to pray, well, Lord, if it be your will. Because you already know the will. If you're praying for your child to straighten up and serve God, you don't have to add, well, Lord, if it's your will. No, if you're praying for somebody to get born again, do you have to add, if it be thy will? Why? All that is known will, right? And so you don't have to pray if it be thy will. You shouldn't pray if it be thy will, and you shouldn't pray in those situations until you are sure of the will of God. But when it comes to our life, when it comes to decisions, you don't know the will of God. And to presume you do, you think you are smarter than God. And we've all discovered through living more than a day that He is smarter than we are. Everybody say it just for fun. God is smarter than I am. That's a real revelation. It's Pastor Rhonda's greatest revelation of her life and ministry that she stole from John Osteen. And so anyway, no, she received it from John Osteen and took it. Hallelujah. That's Joel's daddy, in case you don't know. And so so the truth is, we don't know what the will of the Lord is until it's revealed. So he said, what you ought to say is, if the Lord will live. And he's not talking about staying alive. This is where a lot of people mess it up here. He's not talking about staying alive. He's talking about verse 13, when you said, I'm going to go to this city and live. He's not talking about staying alive there. Staying alive. He's not talking about that. He's talking about if the Lord will. I thought it'd help some of you out. He's saying if the Lord will live and do this or that. Just dated myself. And so you live and do this or that. So he's talking about, really, and I didn't get to it last week, he's talking about you trying to take over your financial situation. He's talking about you taking Jesus out of the lordship of your finances. He's talking about us trying to say, I got this, Lord. I'm going to decide what kind of business I've got, where I live, and what I do. And now, Lord, I just ask for you to bless it. If you throw a blessing prayer on the end of your decision, it will not always work. Rarely work. Because that is really not, because you're saying, I decided who I am and what I'm going to do and where I'm going to do it. Now I just need you to bless it. And that's not the way this works. this works, it's like, oh, we'll get to the notes some other day. What this works like, you look at Elijah, who had it was in the old covenant, but he obeyed God and God took care of him. I often take you to this, and I really love to look at this during the time of famine. You know, Elijah went off to hide, and the Lord sent him to the brook called what? Anybody remember? The brook called Cherith. He didn't send him to the Tennessee River. He didn't send him to his favorite brook. He didn't even ask him what his favorite brook was. He didn't ask him. He told him to go somewhere. And the Bible says there. Everybody say there. See, there's a there place in your entire life. There's a there place. And you've got to find the there place, but you can't find the there place until you ask the one who sends you to the there place. And you got to know your there place. My there place is Madison, Alabama. It has been for 25 years. I'm grateful for it. I was confused when he sent me here. I thought I was being punished when he sent me here. I didn't know anything about Alabama, but it's a happy, good there place in my and my family's life. I love this place. I love this place. It's good because you're going to love your there place because there is where the Lord provides for you. And so he couldn't say, Lord, I don't want to go there. There was no negotiation because there the ravens were scheduled to feed him. There. He couldn't say, well, I don't want to go there. Lord, send the ravens to my favorite brook. That there was no negotiating this. And when you find out, if you want to do God's best, if you want to get in God's best, you're going to quit negotiating your life with him and learn to obey because his way is better. And he always takes you to your happy place, even if you don't think it's going to be your happy place. He knows you. He created you. He's got something good for you. And there, what happened there? Well, there the ravens fed him. My older spiritual brother, my big brother in the faith, Mark Brzee, who's going to be here preaching our 25th anniversary, he says it like this, the ravens brought steak and bread, what, 2 loads a day. And this was during the time of the famine. He just believes, and I kind of like it. He believed the raven flew into the king's palace right when the steak was medium rare, ready to go. And then I think slipped on the rubber gloves because we know we don't want to be, I don't know, bread in one. Something happened. I don't know. There was more than one raven. I guess it said ravens. So, there was a fleet. I don't know. Clean ones, I hope. And so then they came and they you say, well, I get tired of steak and bread. But if it's the best, hallelujah, and nobody else is eating. But then what happened? What happened there? It dried up. And the Lord said, do what? Now, see, you got to be led by the Holy Ghost. Now, we're going to get into how, but you got to be led. Because you can't stay, if the Lord moves the tent stakes, you can't stay there. Peter was always wanting, let's build 3 tabernacles and stay here. But you can't stay there. Because the ravens were on a scheduled time from the Lord. And when they quit, there was no more steak. And you can cry, and you can fast, and you can pray. In our case, you can pray in tongues all day long every day. But they still ain't coming. They are not coming. I know you don't like ain't, but they ain't. And that's what happens to a lot of people. So what do you got to do? When the provision or whatever it is going on, when you gotta say, Lord, because the Bible says, even when you start having trouble with the devil, the Bible says in James 4:7, submit yourself therefore unto God, then you can resist the devil. If you're out of the right place, if you're not in your there place, so what happens? So the Lord tells him to go to Zarephath, and there you'll find a widow woman. I tell this story like this because this is just the way I think. Because, see, I know the Lord, and I think he always does things exceedingly abundantly above you could ever ask or think. And so, I don't mean this wrong, but when I would read that at first, and I didn't understand how everything I understand now, but I would think if God is sending me someplace where a widow woman is going to take care of me, I'm going to stroll into the neighborhood and, look in the obituaries and see the woman that had a rich husband that just passed. Wouldn't that make sense? But the first widow woman he strolls up on, She's making food to die. But the Lord wanted to bless Elijah and her son. When you get in your there place, it'll not only bless you, but it'll bless people around you. Not even your family, it'll bless everybody around you. Amen? Hallelujah. Your business will not only bless you and your family. Punch her and tell her I'm talking to her. Hallelujah. Gonna bless everybody around you. Hallelujah. You know, there's some of you in this room that you've got some things going, even in your career, and the Lord's dealing with you about some stuff and you don't understand it, but you just go ahead and follow him, because there's the blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow to it, and he's going to work some things out. I just see the big chessboard in heaven. Some things are working out for you, and you just let him maneuver you, even though you don't understand why he's doing what he's doing. You just let him do it, and you got to trust him, and you'll get in the right place at the right time. So we're talking about being there, but how, you know, when Elijah, well, he's a prophet, you know, and that was on a special mission. Okay, but it's still this truth. You have a there place. You have somewhere that God is training you. I'll just relate to my stories are ministry stories, because I've been doing this for 25 years. And, you know, I used to use all Brother Hagin's until finally I got some of my own. And so, but I remember when I was an accountant, most of you know that, and I was good at it, and I loved it. And my daughter is in school now, and she's taking some accounting classes, and I'm so thrilled to get to talk to her about it. And her brain works the same way that mine does. And, oh, you know, and those numbers and those charts and debits and credits, and, ooh, it's so much fun. And so, but the Lord wouldn't let me do it anymore because I love it so much. He told me I have to learn to live by the gospel. So instead, you know, I'm moving from my accounting job where I just was told that I would be a partner someday, and I'm going off to Bible school, and my mom is riding with me in the car, and I'm heading out to Bible school from Illinois to Oklahoma, and she's, you know, I think they've all think that I've flipped my mind, she's like, ask a logical mom question, where are you going to work? So I'm thinking I'm going to get an accounting job, which I tried to do, but this is what I said. Sometimes what thing you're the afraid of the most is may be the thing God wants to use you in to get something worked in you or out of you, either or. And I said to this, I'll never forget it. I said to, well, I'll work anywhere but McDonald's. That's what I'll do. I'm not talking McDonnell Douglas. I'm talking about the Golden Arches, which I used to put myself through college. As a manager, I boldly said it. I'll work anywhere but McDonald's. So I got a job as an accountant. I was a good one. I really was. Had soaring recommendations why the guy hired me in a moment. I made more mistakes in 2 weeks than I'd made in all my years. I just couldn't do anything. In other words, I had no grace for that. I made mistakes. He was supposedly a Christian, and he was not nice to me. He called me stupid. He even said to me, he said, everybody must have lied to me. I just couldn't do it. My brain wouldn't work. So, well, God did that? No, I just was not in my there place. He was trying to protect me and help me. And so I quit so the man wouldn't lose any business, because I was messing all his stuff up. And I prayed, and I talked to the Lord, and I kept getting this sense. I started thinking about quarter pounders with cheese and French fries. And, hi, welcome to McDonald's. What can I help you with? I mean, all that stuff. And I was like, Jesus, no. Jesus, help me. And he said to me, which is very strange. Somebody needs to hear this. A lot of you have heard it before. But somebody needs to hear it. He said to me, if you don't do this, you'll miss half of your training. Some of you just don't think that natural things have anything to do with God's stuff. But you don't have a sacred life and a secular life. You've got one. And he works all things together for your good. And so I don't have time to tell you and recount to you all the reasons that it happened. But how many of you know God is smarter than you are? And those were two of the most blessed years of my life. I loved every minute of it. I loved every minute of it. But again, when the grace lifted, I kind of looked at my, as the grace lifted one day when I was working a shift, I could just sense the grace lift. And I, some of you might think this is stupid, but I kind of looked down at the clothes I was wearing. I was like, ooh. I got to get out of here. And I put my two-week notice in and moved back home where my mom and dad could take care of me for the fourth time. And so, thank God, mom and dad's house is always open. My point is, though, there's these leadings and these knowings, and you're their place. But how do you get there? See, I could tell you about it, recount it, and tell you about my life. But how do you get there? How do you get to your their place? How do you make right decisions? How do you know that you know? This is just for me, and this is no guilt, no condemnation. How many of you have been through Bible Institute and have graduated Bible Institute? Show me your hand. Don't be ashamed. Okay, good portion. Okay, the rest of you, you know, you when you can, please do it. See Mary next quarter. Join in, or if you're doing it right now, great. But I just want to know, so, you know, a good portion of you. So I'm going to give you some things that are going to be a recap of what I taught you in my Bible Institute class, how to be led, but you know, it's the Holy Spirit class and the class that I taught. Because this is the deal. You have to become so sure that you can hear God's voice. And so when I say hear God's voice, I want to clarify that. I'm not talking about an outward voice. Some of you may be new to this and not understand. I'm not talking about an outward voice. You and I shouldn't always just be led by words of prophecy. Thank God for them, but that's not how you're supposed to be led. You get a prophecy so you can war good warfare. That means you need it because it's a war. That's not the way you live every day. Jesus has appeared to people. He may never appear to you. Well, I want him to. Well, that's too bad. He may not. Angels, I believe in them. There's messengers of God. But if someone's seeing an angel every day, they scare me. I mean, I'm just going to be real. They scare me. If you really read the accounts in the New Testament and the book of Acts about angels appearing, it's really kind of far between. And it's usually, there's special stuff. Okay? You know, the voice of God. You know, one time from heaven came after Jesus was water baptized. This is my beloved son with whom I'm well pleased. That's great. But that doesn't happen to you all the time. But there is something that can happen to you every day, all day long. And we talked about it a little bit last time we were together. And it's in 1 John 5 and 10. So let's review. Goodness. 1 John 5 and 10. He that believes on the Son of God has a witness in himself. I would say on a Wednesday night, I'm pretty confident that everybody in the room is born again. Everybody in the room born again? How do you know? Because you know, that's the best answer. I mean, you love the brethren, that's the other answer, but because you know. Like if I was ministering to somebody and I was trying to talk to them about the Lord and about heaven, and I would ask them the question, when you die, will you go to heaven? And they answer, I'm not sure, or I hope so. What do I know? They're not born again. Because salvation is know-so, but you don't know-so up here. Salvation, we wish it was, but salvation is not always act so. There's a lot of born-again people who don't always act so. You know what I mean? They act like it, live it out. But what do we know? If someone's really born again, they know so. They became new creatures. They need to learn how to act on that. All that's true, but they know so. Where do they know? Well, the Bible says this in 1 John 5 and 10, that he believes on the Son of God has a witness. Where is that witness at? That witness is in your cardia, the center of you. It's your spirit. It's the center of you. And so Romans 8, 16 says the Spirit himself, is a better translation, bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. The Spirit himself does what? Bears witness. What's a witness? A witness is an inner knowing. A witness is a perception. It is not words. It is not a physical sound. It's a knowing. Who's bearing witness? The Holy Spirit bears witness with your spirit. You know that you're born again. Why? Because the Spirit of God is bearing witness. And so, let's look another scripture. 1 John 2:20 says, but you have an unction. Everybody say, I have an unction. What's an unction? An unction is a knowing. I have a knowing. I have an unction from the Holy One, and I know all things. Well, those things tell me that there's something on the inside of me that knows. If I can get you to understand that's the same place that you're going to be led and make decisions in your life, then you'll be so far ahead of most believers because everybody still, they want God to speak loud. This is a prayer. Lord, I want you to speak to me so I won't miss it. Well, that's a good prayer except for that's not the way God works. We have to work with the way He works. And the way He's chosen to work with you. Because, see, we can't pray, well, Lord Jesus, I need an answer. Please appear to me. Don't pray that way. Well, Lord, I need to make a decision tomorrow. Some of you are going to get mad at me. I need to make a decision tomorrow. So tonight, I ask you to give Pastor Mark a word for me that I'll know what to do. Well, what if Pastor Mark has lost his mind? You cannot depend on the greatest of saint and have an expectation or put that. Because, you know, I talked to you last time. Y'all, everybody good? Like, don't get fleeced. That was old covenant. He didn't have God living on the inside of him. And he was just a really messed up guy, and God was going to use him anyway. And the Lord did that, but that's old covenant. Don't pray that way. Well, I've had the Lord answer me. Well, you got lucky. I don't do that. If they say, well, and has the Lord helped? He does. Listen to me. He's merciful. He's kind. He really is. I get it. But I want to, you and I, because I've been teaching this for a lot of years now, but I'm still learning and I'm still growing because I want to make right choices and right decisions. I have some big decisions to make, but I have some small decisions to make. But I found out in my life that even the small decisions can turn into big stuff. So I want to be led. I want to be led. I'm not going to rely on someone outwardly. I'm not going to rely on someone getting a word for me. I'm going to figure out how God talks every day and how I can know. And how that is through a witness, through an inward knowing. Listen, Mark chapter 2, verse 8. Jesus himself, the head of the church, when he was on the earth, operated this way. He had a perception. Immediately when Jesus perceived, everybody said perceived. That's another word for had a witness. He perceived. You see, what is perception? It's not based on anything you can see, feel, hear, or touch. It's nothing in the natural that shows you this is about to happen. But a perception comes from heaven. A perception is when the Holy Spirit is bearing witness about something, and it's a knowing on the inside of you, just the same knowing as you are born again. And if you and I can learn that and understand that is the way God operates, then it will change the way you think and make decisions in your life. And it will put you far ahead, and it will put you in a place where if we learn and operate this way, I don't like the word learn, but operate this way on a daily basis, it'll put us where we're not always having to believe for miracles. I believe in miracles. Don't anybody ever go out here and say, I do believe, and I believe God will get you out of all your troubles. But if I can understand this and understand, how many of you have ever had, and we're going to get, you ever had something and you're about to do something and you're like, I don't know whether I should do that or not. And there's no visible reason of why you shouldn't. You just, you shouldn't. You shouldn't have gone to that restaurant. Shouldn't have bought that car. And then you've got that beautiful car that, you know, there's nothing seemed to be wrong with it. And then a week later, you're sitting on the side of the road with that beautiful car and you hit the steering wheel and you're like, oh, I should have listened. I had that uncomfortable feeling. What was that? Just you? No, that's the kind of stuff. That's the witness. That's the knowing. Who's the only one that knows the future? And what does he promise in John 16, 13? He'll show you, declare, disclose, transmit. How does he transmit? He doesn't do it always spectacularly, but he does it all day long, every day through the witness. Jesus himself perceived. And that's what you and I need to get good at, understanding that there is a perception. In Acts 14, 9, it's talked about Paul. He saw a man, and he said, perceiving, he had faith to be healed. He didn't have a word from the Lord. He didn't have a word of knowledge. He just had a knowing. He had a knowing that this man's faith was ready to receive. Everybody say perception. Where do perceptions happen? They happen on the inside of you. How about the one I use all the time? Acts 27, 10. Paul was getting on a ship. And what did he do? He said, the Lord spoke to me, and he told me that we're going to have, what's the name of that storm? A Sermahima clone, I don't know, whatever. We're going to have this cyclone thing, and that's not what happened. What did he say? I perceive. What was going on? He was getting on the ship. He had a witness, a knowing that this was going to be lots of trouble. And then what did he do? Now, in that case, he told who he was over him, the soldier, that was he was a prisoner, and nothing could be done. But the Lord was in advance warning him what was going to happen. Now, see, you know, you and I, though, you know something. You know something. I could just sit here and count story after story. One that pops up, and I'll just use. Pastor Rhonda and I were at lunch. We were over at Main Street Cafe. We were chatting. Suddenly, we both had the same perception. There was no reason to have the perception. We were scheduled to minister in the nation of Brazil. Do Brazil. I love Brazil. It's where I started the ministry. It's where I wanted to live all my life, on the beach in Natal. I wanted to eat meat, drink guaraná, and go swim and preach the gospel. Anyway, so preach the gospel should have been first. I wanted to preach the gospel. Drink guaraná, eat meat, and go to the beach. Sorry. So I was taking her to my, I've been to India with her, and I was getting, we're going to take her to Brazil. And we were sitting there at Main Street Cafe, but suddenly at the same time, we both know we can't go. I have never canceled, because I always pray them out, never canceled a ministry trip in my life. And so I got to call Mark Brzee, kind of like sheepishly. Hey, Mark. This is Mark. I just can't go. He said, well, I don't want you to go. I said, I trust you. I don't want you to go. If you feel led, you can't go. So we canceled. And most of you heard this story before. So it ends up, that's flying day 9/11. And not that we would have been on an airplane that happened, but because we're pastors and that's our first responsibility, we had stuff to do here, and we had people in our church in the Pentagon and all that kind of stuff, and we needed to be here. And so the Lord arranged it for us to be here. Plus, wouldn't have made me too upset, but then we would have got stuck in Brazil. But then we would have had a two-year-old or something. Destiny would have been two here. With grandmas, which they wouldn't have minded, but Rhonda would have minded greatly. And so, but the Lord did that. All that was a perception. It wasn't a thus says the Lord. It was a knowing. And yet, good things happen when you follow the knowing. Now, the knowing can be very slight. So what do you have to do? your faith has to grow in this area. Your faith has to grow. Because a lot of times people say, well, just stick in there, and as you mature in the Lord, that'll get easier for you. Or you'll learn. That's why I kind of don't like to use the word learn when I'm teaching them this, because people will say to you, well, just stick around, and you'll learn the voice of the Lord. You'll learn the voice of the Lord. And so what happens, though, when people teach it like that, that always puts it off till tomorrow. Because how is it that a baby Christian, someone who's just born again last Sunday, suddenly knows on Monday not to go there anymore? Not to do that anymore? Not to say that anymore? Without any teaching whatsoever? Well, they're just babies and God does a special thing. You're not going to find that anywhere in the Bible. But what you are going to find is that in John chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, that my sheep know my voice. When does sheepdom happen? The moment you get born again. And from that moment until somebody teaches you out of it and tells you you can't because you're not old enough, you can know the voice of God. Because you are his sheep and you know his voice. In other words, you know his voice. How do you know it? You just know it because you have a witness. That witness tells you you're born again. Now, it's not always a voice out here, but it's an inward knowing voice. It can be. So when I say the Lord said, that doesn't mean I heard a voice. That means I had a knowing. But it's the same thing, only different, but same thing. I had a knowing. So don't look for voices, because there are many voices in the world, the Bible says, none without signification. Don't be searching after voices. Don't you be trying to hear stuff. Be trying to know stuff. I know his voice. I know it. Where do I know it? I have a witness. I have a perception. A perception is that which is not based on facts, things that I see, hear, feel, taste. It's not based on the five senses. It's based on a knowing. Paul perceived. He knew. Now, some of you, you know, once you know this, you can look back on things when you just kind of knew, I shouldn't have done that, or I should have done that. And you look back, you weren't sure about it. Because this is where I want to get you to in the next 9 minutes. I want to get you to the place, okay, I'll take 20, you're fine. I want to get you to the place where you won't be so shy to obey. We need to quit having regrets in this area. Because the Lord's always leading. We always have a perception. Your witness never goes away. And so we have to become sensitive to it. How do you do that? Well, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I do this when I have a big decision to make. And I am blessed because I get to teach this on a very regular basis. It's one of my teaching assignments, whether it's here or especially when I go overseas and talk to ministers. I get to teach on this all the time, so it kind of keeps me fresh in this. But if I had a big decision to make, I would run through these scriptures, and so I'm going to run through them, and you just write them down. And some of you know them already, John 10, 3 and 5. It says, my sheep hear my voice. Everybody say, I am his sheep. I hear his voice. It says, he leads me out. Everybody say, he leads me out. Verse 4, it says, he goes before me, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Everybody say, I know his voice. It says, a stranger's voice they will not follow, but flee from him, for they know not the voice of the stranger. Say, I will not follow the voice of a stranger. See, you know the difference. Well, I got to learn the difference. No, you know the difference. Okay, this is fun part. I had to learn this the hard way. Because that's like this. Has the Lord ever tried to correct any of you? Has he? How many, you know, does he love you? Then what's the Bible say? Well, so that means all of us. He's always trying to correct us. Can you believe that? And so how many of you love correction? Liar, liar, pants on fire if you said yes. Because the Bible even says, no, it seems grievous at the time, right? It seems grievous. And yet it produces a fruit of righteousness. So we like it. No, we don't. We still don't like it. When he brings out the pruning shears, we're like, oh. But he does. Whatever's producing, he'll prune it, right? And so though this is what happens, I call it the spiritual remote. Now, in my house, we have a TV, but the remote belongs to me. And so Rhonda gets so tired, like if we ever have any time, I don't really watch TV. I flip through TV. I never watch anything. I just flip. Anyway, it's just relaxing. Because then you don't have to really watch anything. And so, but that's what some of us do when the Lord goes to correct him. You try to change the channel. Because nobody in this room is stupid enough to say, Lord, I hear you, but I ain't doing that. I don't care what you say. I'm just not listening to that correction. Move on. Go talk to somebody else. Anybody that stupid in the room? Most of us would not do that. What would we do? What would we do? Just ignore it. But what you do when you ignore or change the channel is you confuse your spirit. And you confuse the voice. And you begin to mess with the witness. Makes it all together different, doesn't it? Because what are you doing? Today you're ignoring it. Or you're choosing to believe that's not God. And what happens is, help us. Then tomorrow when you're on 565 and he says, get off on Governors instead of going down to university or whatever that road is, you'll quickly obey him instead of debate with him and get in an accident. See, he doesn't change what he does. We change it by messing with the witness. Because if you say today, I ignore, or you get good at ignoring it. And then your spirit gets confused. God's never confused. And he's always trying to protect you. Listen to me, and this is, why do bad things happen to good people who love Jesus? This will answer a lot of questions for some of you in the room. Well, why didn't God warn him? I guarantee you he did. And listen, if the worst, you know, Pastor Rhonda says it used to make me mad, but now I understand it. The worst thing the devil can do to any born-again believer is send them to heaven prematurely. And there is no harm, you know, we're not, no blame. But, you know, some people just, it boggles them, their mind, it bothers them. Why do bad things happen to good people? Well, for whatever reason, good people weren't listening. And guess what? Maybe they were never taught. When I was growing up in church, I never heard anything like this. But this is in the Bible. And this is good for you. Because this also can get you into places and get things for you. You know, we tell this account, I heard him say this, Norval Hayes, a lot of you don't know who he is, but, you know, we use this illustration a lot because it's just so profound. He was driving somewhere, drove by a piece of property that looked worthless. The Lord spoke to him, told him to buy it. He goes back and buys it for like $6,000 or $7,000. A year later, he sells it for $1 million. Because what he didn't know is that they were going to put an interstate or something through there, and it became a hot realty for a mall. What was it? An unction. A knowing. A perception. The Lord, when you're out, maybe you're hunting for a new job, and you've got three offers. And the first one is, you know, $150,000 and 4 weeks of vacation and all the benefits you could ever think of and a corner office and, you know, latte when you come in and a latte when you leave because you are that special and, you know, whatever. And, you know, and then the other one is $60,000, but we really don't have anything for you. Here's a pop-up desk and a laptop and, you know, but we're going to give you some shares. There's a little company called Integraph. I think they did that too. But see, if you're just led by money and corner offices, you might miss the plan of God for your life. You know, and at 50, retire and move to the Big Island and invite your pastor over to say, you know, to come visit. Because I can't leave here, all right? So don't want to leave here. But you understand what I'm saying? See, there's so much that we don't know that God does know, but how do we get it? It's by the witness. It's by the knowing. And you got to get real good at believing John 10, 27. My sheep hear my voice. Everybody say, I am his sheep. I hear his voice. Amen. It says so in John 18, 37. It says John 16, 13. I already showed you that one. He'll tell you things to come. Romans 8, 14. Romans 8, 14. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Everybody say, because I'm a son of God, I am led by the Spirit of God. Amen. Anybody part of the church? All throughout Revelation, that first part, every time he spoke to church, he said, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. So say, I'm part of the church. I have ears to hear what the Spirit of God says to me. So I take all those verses and I rehearse them. And I speak them. And what happens? Faith comes. What does that do? It gives me confidence. Because somebody else might tell you, well, if you just need to hear from God, you know, this is a Spirit-filled church and we pray in tongues around here. So they just say, well, pray in tongues. But if you don't believe you can hear from God, you can pray in tongues all day long. All that will do is build up your battery. You still won't hear. Pastor Mark, I don't believe that. That's what the Bible says. Jude 20, he builds upon your most holy faith. Praying in tongues doesn't give you faith. It never has and never will. It builds upon. It's like a battery that charges you. So you've got to go back to the word to believe. Because see, if you go around, if you say, somebody, you got a decision to make. Pick an Ollie tonight. Ollie's got a decision to make. And so he's got a decision to make. And so if I ask him, what are you going to do about that? And he's going to say, well, I don't know. Praying about it. Have you made a decision yet? Nadra asked him. Have you made a decision yet? I don't know. Now, if Ben Louise call up, your sons, what are you going to do, Dad? I don't know. Every time he answers, I don't know, what does he have faith for? He has faith for I don't know. He has I don't know faith. And you say, well, Pastor Mark, that's just not fair to pick on Ollie like that. I'm not picking on Ollie. I'm just saying how we all do it, because that's what we all do. We answer out of our mind. We've been trained to. We've been trained to, because we think that's right. And, you know, but a better answer would be, I'm being led by the Spirit of God. I'm his sheep, and I know his, oh, I can't say that to people. Well, just smile and nod then. Don't say anything at all, because you don't want I don't know faith. You're reinforcing that. What do you hear yourself saying? I don't know. I don't know. But you do know. It just hasn't made its way from here to here yet. Where do you know? I know in here because I have a witness. And I got to uncover it. And so as I speak the word, as I confess the scriptures, faith comes. And faith rises up. And so then I have confidence. This is the confidence that I have. So I have confidence and that I'm hearing from God. And then I begin to do that. Now, there's different ways, and I wanted to leave you with this. This is really strong on my heart. And so we'll see when we come back to this in another time. But are y'all with me? Yes. Said, I am his sheep. I know his voice. All right? One of the things you need to do, and this is really strong on my heart. It wasn't in my notes until just a little while ago. I added it. This is old covenant, but it does, because, and there's also new covenant principle. Anybody remember when David was anointed king? How did he get to be king? How did he get anointed? Remember, the prophet came. Daddy brought in everybody. Who'd we start with? Eliab? What was it? I think he was older. Let's look at it just real quick. 1 Samuel 16, just real quick. 1 Samuel 16. I promised myself I'd be done by quarter after tonight. Hallelujah. So quarter after 9, we will be done. I know you gotta get the children to school, so I'm gonna hurry. 1 Samuel 16, 7, the Lord said to Samuel, look not on verse 6, Eliab, yeah. Surely in the ordinance before him, he's the oldest. But the Lord said to Samuel, verse 7, don't look on his countenance. In other words, you're trying to make a decision. Don't look at what you see. Don't look at his height, his stature, because I've refused him. In other words, I'm looking at these three job choices. Don't look at what they've given you. Don't look, well, Pastor Mark, you know, the Bible says, you know, get wisdom. Whose wisdom are you using? Because what you think is wisdom, what somebody else told you, you got to use God's wisdom. He knows the future. Now, see, that's why you got to be strong at this, because it's easily, you can look at something. Now, am I saying get rid of your brain? I heard somebody say, well, he's saying, you know. No, I'm not. God gave you a brain, renew it. Your mind, renew it. And make choices from your renewed mind. But there are some things you don't know. So don't look at his countenance. Because, you know, I refused him, for the Lord sees not as a man sees, for man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. All right, and then he went, then there's Abinadab, and bless her, you know, I don't want them. He went through all of them. No, I don't want them. And then Samuel's like, okay. And he said, don't you got anybody else? And then, you know, David's out there, and daddy didn't think it would be David, didn't care about David. He's out tending the few sheep. And then he comes in, and he's ruddy and beautiful and goodly look at. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for he it is he. So listen, sometimes what the Lord will do is he'll have you, in trying to do something, he'll let you know what it's not. I know that from Acts. Let's go over to the New Testament. It would have been good if I wrote it down. Acts. Give me a second. Acts chapter 16. Verse 6. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. What is that? That's an inward knowing, don't do this. It doesn't say they had a word of prophecy. It doesn't say a voice came from heaven. It said, what it said, they were, it said, and the Spirit suffered them not. Later on, it's the same thing. Down later, as they get there, remember, there's Lydia, the lady with purple, and then there's that lady, the fortune teller lady. And it says, but Paul being grieved. Where does grieved happen? It happens in here. It's not based on outward fact, because this girl's saying, these are the men that have come to show us the way to the Most High. Everything looks like we got a little woman that's just saying, hey, everybody, come listen to the preacher. But what they didn't, how many of you know you don't want the devil announcing your meetings? So it wasn't anything. He obviously, she followed him many days. She was sneaky. It wasn't overt. She wasn't slithering like a snake or anything. She didn't have any jewelry on or anything. She didn't have a crystal ball. You know? There was no 1-800 call, what's her name? But suddenly on the inside, without any warning, he gets grieved. What is that? That's a knowing. It's the same thing. It just sometimes in leading, the Lord will tell you what it's not as much as he'll tell you what it is. And if you're always waiting for what it is and he keeps telling you what it's not, I know you get frustrated, but him telling you what it's not is him telling you what it is. Except, well, Lord, tell me. I need you to tell me. I've done that before. Lord, tell me. I can hear your voice. I teach on this all the time. I got this. Tell me. Lead me. Guide me. And then, you know, just don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. And then like a month later, like, oh, that's it. You don't get to decide how God leads you. You get to decide to learn how he does. And then decide, I'm going to follow that. And that'll help you. And so sometimes, and what somebody in the room need to hear, you keep getting, don't do that, don't do that, and it's frustrating you, but you're on your way to the, aha moment. Amen.
We hope you were inspired by today's message. If you want to hear more from the Word of God, head over to cwol.org, check us out on YouTube or any social platform under @CWOLMadison. We believe God is working within you, and we want you to know Him so you too can make Him known.